The Earth's Demolition Process. Let's look into God's Word to see His demolition plan, making the world ready by a renovation that is to come in the not-so-distant future. Revelation 21, 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. John said he saw a new heaven and a new earth as the old ones passed away. And Peter tells us all the works, but not the planet, shall be burned up. The earth's foundation was not destroyed in Noah's day, only the sin and the sinners. The earth's foundation will not be destroyed in our day either, only the sin and the sinners. It is not God's will for anyone to perish. He gives everyone their opportunity to come to repentance, just as he did Cain after killing his brother Abel. 2 Peter 3, verses 9 and 10. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. But the sinners that reject him do so on their own choosing. God is a just and fair God. The world is about to be destroyed by the evil ways of man with his nuclear weapons to dominate the world. God continually tries to warn mankind that he is the only means of escaping this mass destruction. You cannot blame God, as he does not destroy the sinners. They choose their own destiny by rejecting him. John 12, 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Before explaining specifically how God renovates our world, we need to define some terms that will clarify this process. In the English language, passed away at a glance looks as though the earth will be totally done away. A deeper search of the scriptures reveals the earth we will be living on is the new earth, our new home in a renovated condition. It will be loosed from the grip of Satan and taken back by its original owner to be used for the kingdom of God and his purpose. The term passed away was used in Revelation 21:1 and also in 2 Peter 3:10. The original Greek word is pererekomia, which means to pass from one condition to another or to come from one place and arriving at another for a purpose. Other definitions are to come into being as to show itself, to be established and become known. This is the same Greek word for regeneration in Titus 3:5 and also in Matthew 19:28. It is actually used 31 times in the New Testament. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Matthew 19:28. And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. The word regeneration means the passing away of a sinner and being changed in the same body to a vessel fit for God's use and purpose as a temple for the Holy Ghost. The word melt in verse 10 is the same word as dissolved and has the Greek meaning of loosed. To loose is to undo what up until now has been restrained or kept together or kept in place. The Apostle Peter tells us in verse 11 that something up until that time had been held in place but is now loosed. 2 Peter 3:11 and 12. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? It was the same meaning for the word loose in Mark 11, 2 and 3, when Jesus had need of the use of the colt to ride into Jerusalem. The colt was tied and in bondage, and Jesus used the term loose, meaning let him go from that condition so he could be used for God's purpose. Mark 11, verses 2 and 3. and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him, and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. The same Greek word was used in the original writing of the event of Lazarus being raised from the dead. John 11, verses 43 and 44. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. The English translation is again, loose, meaning to change his condition from the bondage and grip of death that Satan had upon him, and let him come back to life for God's purpose. Revelation 9:15 records John's vision on the Isle of Patmos, when he saw four angels loosed that were appointed to slay one-third of the population. Revelation 9:14 and 15, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, Loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. The same Greek word for loosed is used over 40 times in the New Testament. 2 Peter 3:12 stated that the elements would melt. The Greek interpretation is to be dissolved or melt like the melting of snow on a hot oven, denoting all will be loosed very suddenly, as a thief in the night. I have been in the business of renovating old houses for many years. I could take something many people would have torn down and change its condition to a new creation. For example, a property I renovated had been bank-owned and vacant for several years. It had a slight water leak that had caused much mold throughout the property. From the rank odor, I could easily discern that the previous tenant heavily smoked. It still had the smell of old alcohol as well. Have you ever taken notice how bad sin really stinks? All in all, that was the type of property I was drawn to, as I could usually get a good buy, renovate it, and make a good profit. A major demolition was the first step. Everything had to go, including the bathrooms, kitchen, plumbing, and electric, all the way down and including the drywall. Then the home was totally cleansed with disinfectants, killing all germs, insects, bacteria, and odors. There was nothing left but the shell, and that was where I needed to get it to if I was going to make it a new creation for my use. From there, the renovation could begin. It was then all reconstructed to the specifications of what my wife and I would consider to be very pleasing to dwell in. And when I started this project, the purpose was to complete it and sell for a profit. However, upon completion, my son Robert, who was the real estate broker, came to take photos and list the property. He was amazed when he saw it and refused to list it until I thought good and hard about moving into it myself. His description of the property was that it was brand new. No one had ever used a kitchen or bathrooms, kind of like the colt Jesus had need of that had never been sat on. It had that new smell in it, and it was all done with great taste and was in a nice area. It was something I now had use of. The old property shell was not totally destroyed, only the sin and the effects of sin from the sinners who previously lived there. The property's condition had changed into a new creation. Behold, all things become new. The process for the new earth is coming the same way. The basic structure remains while the sin and all the effects of the sinners, including Satan and his angels, will be burned off the old earth to make way for God's renovation. It will be changed to be used for his purpose and for his glory. In chapter 3, verse 12, Peter admonishes us to think forward to the reality of these things. The reality of his coming denotes both the arrival of God and his presence. This scripture takes us into the very presence of God on the day of God, when all the elements shall melt with intense heat and be loosed from their present condition. 2 Peter 3:12, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The new heavens and the new earth found in 2 Peter 3:13 does not mean new in time. They will be new as to form or quality. God will reconstruct the atmosphere around the earth and the land on this earth into something totally new after man's sins have caused mass pollution and devastation. The 24th chapter of Isaiah expounds further on how man's sins brings on the day of God. 2 Peter 3, verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. John's vision in Revelation 21:1 tells the same account as Peter saw in 2 Peter chapter 3, but adds, "And there was no more sea." Revelation 21:1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Many Bible scholars to this day do not believe the seas will literally disappear. They explain these truths away, saying the seas represent boundaries between people having different beliefs about almost everything. Without sin in the earth, everyone would think the same as each other, and symbolically, the seas would no longer separate man and their thoughts from one another. They would be in unity, even with the distance of the sea between countries. These scriptures in Peter and in Revelations, written about 2,000 years ago, give an accurate description of a nuclear reality. Just a few decades ago, scientists could not even imagine or think in these terms, let alone when Peter and John wrote their visions. In the days of the apostles, anyone saying a man could make a device that would incinerate an entire city, let alone the whole planet, in a moment of time would have been deemed insane. Weapons of mass destructions were not yet a reality, as no one ever saw or experienced anything even close to what Peter was describing from his vision. It certainly would have appeared that he was mentally unstable, yet here, years later, we are seeing some smaller versions of the reality of these scriptures coming to pass. There are many things in our short lifespans that we accept now as reality, but would have never believed possible a few decades ago. Here are some early examples of how powerful and dangerous weapons of mass destruction have become since the days of Peter. On July 16, 1945, at 5:29 a.m. local time in the desert of New Mexico, the world's first atomic explosion tore into the atmosphere. The intense heat melted desert sand into greenish-gray glass. Huge chunks were ripped out of the earth. The 100-foot-high steel tower on top of which the bomb was detonated was vaporized. Windows were shattered 125 miles away. The explosion was visible in three states. People did not know what the mushroom cloud meant, which would rise 8 miles into the atmosphere. Unless a Bible student was among them, they wouldn't know that the phrase vapor of smoke, which Peter quoted in Acts 2:19, is actually worded pillars of smoke in Joel chapter 2 and verse 30. The Hebrew word translated pillars literally denotes palm trees. Palm trees, being tall and blooming out only at the top, resemble an atomic blast forming a mushroom cloud. 3 weeks later, on August 6th, at 8:15 a.m. local time, the world's first atomic explosion against human flesh and blood turned the atmosphere 1,900 feet above Hiroshima, Japan, into a ball of nuclear fire. In a city of approximately 345,000, about 70,000 people were instantly killed and about 70,000 more wounded. 4 square miles of the city was incinerated. By 1950, radiation had pushed the death toll to 200,000. 3 days later, on the morning of August 9th, the world's second atomic explosion against men, women, and children ignited the atmosphere above Nagasaki, Japan, a slightly smaller city than Hiroshima. Instantly, 40,000 were killed and 40,000 more were wounded. The death toll eventually climbed to 140,000. For those people, it was as if the day of the Lord had come as a thief in the night. We are told that these bombs were actually little ones. Today they are so many times more powerful, and there are so many more of them in the world. The time will come when, in the not-so-distant future, these scriptures will come to pass, as all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Traditionally, it is hard to believe water can burn, since it is usually used to put fires out. However, science has proven under the right conditions, water is highly explosive, as it is 2 parts hydrogen and 1 part oxygen, both highly flammable. For the ones that are still skeptical of the seas being able to burn, I've included a little more insight to how this could be possible. The National Geographic News on September 14th, 2007 published an article claiming scientists confirm that salt water can burn. Their findings confirm salt water can indeed burn when exposed to a certain kind of a radio wave. Rustin Roy of Pennsylvania State University verified that radio waves break the water into its components, allowing the resulting freed hydrogen and oxygen to catch fire. John Keynesius of Sanibel, Florida, stumbled onto the accidental phenomenon when running components with a radio frequency generator that he designed to help zap cancer cells. When he trained the radio waves on a test tube of salt water, it produced an unexpected spark, according to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Pennsylvania State University then followed up, intrigued by the technology's potential applications for desalination and hydrogen fuel. They found that the phenomenon works by breaking water into oxygen, hydrogen, and salt. The hydrogen is combustible and will burn as long as it remains within the radio frequency field. Scientists held public demonstrations showing water burning. You may watch many examples of water burning on the internet. Interestingly, I saw one where all conditions were right. They touched the elements with just a tiny bit of water, less than a thimbleful, and it created quite an explosion with a great noise. If you have ever experienced or witnessed a personal baptism of fire from God, it always produces a great noise of enthusiasm in the person. Enthusiasm means God within us. Our minds cannot even imagine the great noise produced when all the salt water explodes with the great heat that dries up the seas. Keep in mind, this is not only a natural fire, but also a holy fire from God that takes away Satan and all of his demons. Every germ, bacteria, and insect that causes sickness and death will be done away with. The Apostle Peter centuries ago presented the new heavens and the new earth as such a reality, revealed to us by inspiration near the end of his second and last epistle as an account of what to expect in the last days. This describes perfectly the sudden detonation of massive nuclear weapons that could incinerate the present heavens and earth to ashes and dry the oceans in a moment's time. All life would be lost. All sin and the influence of sin would be gone. The devil and his angels will be bound and cast into the consuming lake of fire. The heavens would be cleansed of all space debris and filth, leaving only the foundation or framework to be completely renovated into a place worthy for the presence of God to dwell. Interestingly, note how the scriptures, thousands of years old, divulge truths that science is just catching up with in our present day. Our God is light years ahead of mankind in all ways. Scripture tells us that our thoughts are not his thoughts, and his ways are higher than ours. We can only speculate with our human intelligence as to the outcome of Peter's and John's visions and writings. The details are up to whenever and however God desires to fulfill them. The only thing we know for certain is his word will be brought to pass. Scripture often speaks of the entire creation awaiting the final act of redemption. To destroy something completely and to replace it with something utterly new is not an act of redemption. To redeem something is to save that which is in imminent danger of being lost. The renovation may be radical, but the purifying act ultimately redeems rather than annihilates. The new heavens and the new earth will be purified. The Apostle Peter states that just the works will be burned up. There will be no room for any kind of evil works or evil influencers in this new order. 2 Peter 3, verses 10 through 13. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Peter encourages God's people to take heart and think forward to the day of God, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, to ensure we will be a part of the inhabitants of this new order. This is entirely possible, but only after our baptism of fire, which cleanses us from all evil nature and desires.